Radio 360.
That's a radiator in my apartment. It's like I'm living at a dry cleaner's. Or like I'm just about to receive a telegram telling me the war is over.
That is the writer Henry Alford, who's also speaking to today's theme of turning improbable sounds into art.
Recently, it occurred to me that other people must have the same problem. I thought, what if I recorded the sounds of their radiators and added them to the sounds of mine? Maybe I could piece them together into a kind of a musical composition. Because a noisy radiator is a kick in the head, but a piece of music is a joy forever. Nervously entering these new waters, I'm just a writer after all, I sent out an email to hundreds of people. Two radiators that sounded really amazing presented themselves. The first belonged to a woman who does customer relations for a coffee company out of her apartment in Manhattan.
Hi, I'm Erin Meister, and this is my radiator.
Like me, Meister had clearly been spending a lot of time thinking about her radiator.
I hear a lot of sort of overtones in it, and it reminds me a little bit of throat singing, so I like to sort of imagine the clanging as the percussive.
I next visited Todd Pruzan, a magazine editor who lives in a cozy three-story house in Maplewood, New Jersey. Because he lives in a house, Pruzan has a relationship to his radiator that's a little different from my own.
You've got a thermostat, so you're actually controlling.
Right, I conduct the music.
Right.
Pruzan turned his thermostat up, and we pulled chairs up to his dining room radiator and lay in wait. It was like we were on safari.
There's something.
There's something, yeah.
It could be stage fright.
I think so. I think that was the first paw coming out of the cave.
Then we moved on to radiators in other rooms of Pruzan's house.
I think it's okay, but can you come close?
Sure.
So this is kind of a nice hiss you've got going here.
Right. This is the wild spotted radiator of New Jersey. This one sounds a bit more like crickets.
When Pruzan cranked the thermostat even higher, he got a different sound.
This one's getting a little bit higher.
It is. There's a tinge of hysteria to that.
With the help of a sound engineer from Studio 360, I mixed together the most musical bits from Meister's and Pruzan's seven radiators with the ones from my three.
I feel like we need something more here.
Creating a two-minute-long composition.
Like tapping, but oh, that is harsh. Mm-hmm. That tea kettle.
So maybe start with this banging.
Because this one's a little more staccato than the first one. Yeah, it's kind of cool with them one on top of the other. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I liked it, but what would other people think? Anxious for professional assessment, I took the piece to a classical music expert, Fred Plotkin, who's lectured for the Metropolitan Opera and is the author of Classical Music 101.
So essentially what this is 10 radiators mm-hmm. that I have visited and recorded, and then I've put them together mm-hmm. into a kind of compilation. Okay, shall we have a little
yes,
music?
Yes, let's have a blast.
Okay. What do you think?
To
me, this is a pastoral symphony. It's a very short symphony that was very harmonic. There was nothing jarring. It all seemed to be of a piece and of nature. And I really thought of Mahler. I thought of Beethoven. I thought of anyone who evokes natural settings. And to me, it was not only not jarring, but it was quite calming.
I was thinking that you might invoke the operatic idiom verismo, because it's depictions of contemporary everyday life. And sometimes when I hear my radiator, I think Renata Tibaldi.
She would not be pleased to hear that. Wherever she is, she would turn off your heat right away.
To my amazement, Plotkin asked to hear the piece a second time. This time he had a different interpretation.
Actually, the second hearing, I had a very different response. Mussorgsky's picture is at an exhibition. There's a section about chickens and hens and other little birds. And suddenly this sounded to me like a very short tone poem, the life cycle of a chicken. The pecking to get out of the egg and popping its head up all of a sudden and experiencing the world and...
Beethoven, Mussorgsky, chickens. This was really heady stuff. My brain started spinning.
And what kind of life can I expect to lead as an avant-garde musician? I'm imagining that it's a lot of grant applications and layovers at the Rotterdam airport.
Well, the Rotterdam Symphony, if you could get your music performed by the Rotterdam Symphony, is pretty good. But I have a key question for you. Are you going to record the radiator or travel with the radiator? It's a very important distinction.
Oh, my God. You mean people might expect me to bring my radiators?
They want the live musician. You know, when we go to see films with Flipper or Lassie, we don't want to meet the owner. We want to meet Flipper and Lassie. It's the same thing here.
So in the end, I felt highly flattered by Plotkin's enthusiasm, but at the same time, slightly crippled by all the practical concerns he'd brought up. Yes, I've got my eye set on Rotterdam, but I'm not really looking forward to getting a radiator, let alone 10 of them, through customs. Nevertheless, I'm more convinced than ever of the potential power of art and its consolations. Where there's hissing, there's fire.
I think this hysteria is slowly turning to resignation.
I'm hearing that also.
But there's hope to it too, I think. There's a little hope in there.
That was writer Henry Alford. You can listen to his full Radiator composition, produced with Pike Malinowski, at pri.org/studio360. And in June, you can get a copy of Henry's brand new book. It's called And Then We Danced, A Voyage into the Groove.